You're listening to Let's Get Metaphysical. This podcast explores the spiritual and metaphysical world through the experiences and opinions of the host and those interviewed. It should not necessarily be seen as direct endorsement or personal advice to our listeners. We encourage you to use your own discernment, judgment, and intuition regarding anything you learn of through this show.
Let's get metaphysical.
Welcome to the Let's Get Metaphysical podcast. I'm your host, Renata Maniacci. Here to remind you that you are still a spiritual being having a human experience on this planet. Today, we are going to continue our conversation from last time about the dark and shadow and take it a step further and talk about boundaries and protections. How do you protect yourself from this stuff? To help me with this conversation, again, we welcome back Jerry Becker. Jerry is a Healing Touch certified practitioner, instructor, a qualified mentor, and a certified Ayurvedic educator. He has also had his fair share of run-ins with the dark and shadow, and he has subsequently developed some really amazing strategies for staying safe from these things. And we are going to talk about that today and in our bonus content for today's episode. Jerry Becker is a dear friend and mentor of mine. I refer to him as Jerbear the Bliss Wizard. I have never met a human more wizard-like than Jerry, and I hope that you will get something out of our conversation, as he is the primary reason that I have had such great protection and boundaries around me. He was my first teacher in this incarnation about how to protect yourself from less than positive or less than high vibrational aspects and things, etc., that befall us in this incarnation on this planet. Enjoy.
Welcome, metaphysicians. Welcome back, Jerry Becker. Thank you so much for being back on the podcast to talk about boundaries and protections and kind of continue our conversation about the shadow and the dark and what to do about it.
Well, thanks for having me. And it's one of my favorite subjects on what to do about it, how to build your boundaries and protections. So I'm an advocate of that.
Yay. Perfect. Well, why don't we jump right in with a story? Do you have an experience you can share with us about using protections or boundaries while maybe working with a client or yourself?
Sure. I have an interesting story of my first foray out into distance work and healing. I had a friend who was in the UK and needed healing. And I was like, well, this healing works from a distance and I can do it across the street. I can do it across the country. Why can't I do it, you know, across the planet? So I decided that, well, okay, I'm going to be going pretty far. I better be protected. So I built myself a spacesuit and I put on my armored spacesuit and off I went across the planet to the UK to do my work. And while I was there and I was doing the work, I became depleted because I was really doing a lot of work and I didn't leave me enough energy to get back. So I was all done and I was like, yay, okay, I finished this. It's like, oh crap, how do I get back? So it's like not having my airline long enough to power me. So I was like, well, okay, I'm going to have to get back somehow. So I had this big clunky spacesuit on and I'm coming back across the ocean and I ran out of power. And it was excruciatingly painful for me because I was open to all influences and all aspects of the metaphysical and my body was in extreme physical pain. Hard to even describe how painful it really was. Just curled up on the floor like, ouch, this really hurts. So while I was there, I was like, you know, I could use some help. In fact, I could use a lot of help. And there was like a bing, and this golden light surrounds me. And it was, I could hear this voice going, I'll take this one. And it was like, really? What's that all about? But there was no pain. There was no anything. And I was home. I was in my living room. And it was like, the voice was not only, I'll take this one, was like, you need to work on this. And there I was. And I was like, what the heck was that all about? So My understanding is my spacesuit was inadequate, so I needed to do better. And how was I going to do better? And I had this charge from higher powers and super friends to figure it out. So my thoughts were, okay, what do I do to make my protections better? My spacesuit didn't work. I must have had holes in it, or it wasn't powered enough. It was too heavy to go through the metaphysical easily. So, you know, I'll make a really light suit of armor and my armor will protect me. Well, no, it can be vibrated through. There's many ways to get through the cracks and creases and whatever you have in armor. So it's like, all right, fine, I'll build a wall. So I'll just build a wall around me, and my wall will, I'll take my wall to where I'm going to go, do my work. And walls are really heavy to carry around with you in the metaphysical. So it couldn't go as far, couldn't do as much, and it was very unwieldy, and walls don't work. You can get over them, darn. You can get under them, darn. You can go around them. So it's like, okay, this needs some more thought. So while all this time was going on, there's this, you know, thing I call night school, where, you know, you have a conundrum, you have an issue, you say, okay, I need some help with this, you know, whoever can give me information, please do. And you go to sleep and you're in class and you're learning things. And sometimes you remember exactly what's going on. And sometimes you just remember you've been in class all night, wake up refreshed in the morning. And many times you wake up going, oh, I know what to do. And it's a more of a direct transmission, perhaps, but you have an idea of what to do and expand upon it. So you do lots of journaling to figure out the permutations. So moved from walls into light. And light is an interesting aspect because it has various frequencies, and how the light can shift and change. It's very easy to carry. It's very easy to put around you, and then off you go. And it works fairly well, but light can be diffused. Light can be diffracted. Light can be reflected, and you might not end up where you thought you were going. So I moved into, well, if it's a distance, what if I bring them to me or meet them halfway? So I would surround my client with light, I would surround myself with light, and then I would meet them in the light. And that worked quite well, is that I didn't take me any power. I didn't have to travel anywhere because we were together, we were harmonized, and we had permissions to do that. And then I would then go about doing my business. And in doing that, permutations from spacesuit to walls to different structures around me, to surrounding myself in light and doing the traveling, to surrounding both parties in light and traveling, I've come up with things that are easy, things that are, that will protect you, that will give you really good boundaries, and will make it easier than trying to do all that stuff I tried because I needed to work. And I understand why I needed to do that, so that I had an understanding of the depths of how energy works in distance work as well as around you, and in how to protect yourselves from various aspects and external pernicious influences out in the universe, so that you're not just hanging out there in your underwear because your spacesuit has a hole in it.
Well, it wouldn't be any fun if we just did it the easy way right away, right?
Oh, yeah, it's fun, yes. Well, you're right. It wouldn't be as much fun. I mean, looking back at it, we can laugh at it because it seemed to work.
Right.
But, you know, let's make some shortcuts. Let's make it so people can have even more fun and just use my anecdotes as a saying, yeah, I don't think I'm going to do it that way.
Right.
We'll move into more advanced knowledge and just use what works.
For our more left brain thinkers, can you explain just a little bit about what you mean by like putting on your spacesuit to go do distance work? Like, what does that look like to somebody who might not understand what distance work is and what you were trying to do there?
So from my perspective of doing distance work is I had to travel a great deal of distance, not have a person on a table right next to me. And as such, I had to move from where I was in the United States to across the planet to where I wanted to get things done. And I knew from various readings that I needed some type of protection from external pernicious influences, and I needed some way to do that. So for me, you know, it's 50 years. We're going to have celebrating the moonwalk. It's like, I wanted a spacesuit. You know, why doesn't everyone want a spacesuit?
Absolutely.
So, you know, I'm in my own self-contained, you know, unit, and I can move about, and it's clumsy and it's hard and it takes a lot of effort, but boy, I had a spacesuit. So yeah, that's, you know, the idea of you need protections. So how do you put your protections together?
Sure.
And there are much better books and much better understanding now out there of how to protect yourself. But hey, you know, I had what I had.
This is an interesting story to me because, you know, we've been working together for several years now. You're one of my first mentors. And I think I'm hearing the story and I'm recognizing how grateful I am that you did a lot of this groundwork as mentors often do for their future students, you know, without even knowing it, of course, at the time. But when I started doing distance work, which probably you were probably the first person to help me recognize how I could do that, I never even considered going to necessarily the person. I always, when I do distance work, I bring them to me, or I feel their energy just wherever I am in the world and then start working on them. So I guess I have I have your earlier experiences to thank for making it so relatively easy to do distance work when I kind of first started. So thanks for that.
Well, you were always welcome. And, you know, why plow the road when it's already been plowed before you?
Right.
Just walk up behind and keep right on going. keep the spiral up the mountain going. Yeah. So, yes, I try to discourage people from doing silly things and do intelligent things and do them wisely.
Good. I mean, that's what makes you such a great mentor and bliss wizard. Wow. So, well, let's talk a bit more about boundaries and protections. Because, you know, you and I are both coming from a perspective of practitioner and instructor and working both with clients and other folks and teaching other clients and other folks about how to, you know, first there's how we protect ourselves while we're working with other people and put up appropriate boundaries while we're working with other people. But then there's also the aspect of folks who are listening who, you know, may not be in the practitioner role and may just be in the, you know, the human role and whatever job or family life or surroundings that they find themselves in. And how can they use, you know, appropriate boundaries and protections from, you know, what we were talking about in our last episode, external pernicious influences or shadow or dark aspects. Let's dive into that a little bit.
So let's try looking at it from this perspective. When I first started healing, I did Qigong healing. And it was pure sacral chakra energy, pure blow through, clear all of the channels, get the meridians functioning, bring the person into some vitality and balance, and then let them go. And it worked. But they'd walk off the table going, whoa, what was that? How did that work? Whoa, that was very powerful.
Right.
When I came into the healing touch realm, I asked, how can you do this work without people becoming ill? Because when we would do Qigong work, we would have what we would say was Qi flu. Qi flu was when you took your energy and you worked it through someone. It was your energy working through that person. Wow. And there was some interaction. And for people who are empathic and sensitive, they would take some of that energy from that other person and the other person would have some of their energy. And frankly, you don't need my energy. You need the best of the best.
Right.
But at the time, it was, well, just make that meridian open, make that channel function, get that person balanced, and then let them go. So you used whatever you had. Well, that mixture of incompatible energies would cause some gastrointestinal distress, would cause some temporary energy weakness. And it was like, oh, there's got to be a better way. So I met the healing touch people, and we're like, hey, we're going to heal. We're going to do this. And I'm like, okay, well, I don't know why we want to do it that way, but okay, fine. This is a tool in my toolbox. But they used a heart-centered method, and they spun up their heart, and then they used their heart to do the healing. And it wasn't using your own energy. It was using a better energy, a higher vibrating energy. And that was more comfortable for the person, more easy, and they didn't have my stuff and I didn't have their stuff. So for empaths and sensitives, it's very helpful to just use that heart higher frequency energy than my own personal energy.
Absolutely, yeah.
So having that heart energy protection of just being in a loving space and acknowledging that, you know, they need something and may not know exactly what they need, but if I give them all the best of the best, then they're going to move into a higher vibration, more health, more vitality, and they're going to get better or at least be on their road to healing. And I'm going to empower them to do that. So that move from that power and mixing of energies to a heart-centered, more protected, less me, more universal, more higher power made all the difference in the world and how a healing would take place. But it also worked on a personal level. If I could heart-center and expand my heart-centered bubble, then I could do more. And it didn't necessarily mean doing healing work with people. It could mean simply being in the universe and being protected from other aspects of the universe because it was a higher vibrational frequency. And it kept out low vibrational riffraff.
Yeah.
So keeping that low vibrational riffraff out made sense. So, you know, when we meant and I would be mentoring you, you got the benefits of don't do it that way. That was silly. Here, try this. This makes sense. And then you're comfortable and happy and it works.
Yeah. That's great. One of the things, without actually overtly stating this just now, like one of the things that we do a lot in Healing Touch is ground and connect to energies that are greater than ourselves to flow through us and do the work. And it's one of the things that I think is the most important way to protect yourself, even as a practitioner, as an instructor, and as a person who's just going about their day in their life at their job or in their work, as a way to not pick up other people's stuff. Yeah.
Exactly. So sometimes just getting out of your own way and letting that higher frequency work for you, it makes the most sense. And in many of the teachings, they don't teach you how to do that. They just do it this way. And a lot of that is overwhelm of the students going, oh, I have all this stuff, I can do this, I can do that. And they don't really get into, they let the heart-centered aspects do it for you. And for a lot of people, that works perfectly well. But there are some people on the curve that are more empathic, are more sensitive, or their fields can reach further, can do more. And those are the people who are, you know, picking up on other people's stuff or picking up on their feelings. And, you know, we look at it as there's near empathy where I have to touch you or you have to touch me and I can feel what's happening in my body or I can feel what's happening in yours. And then there's near to you where we can be like across the room, but you have to be in my sight and I can feel what's happening in your body physically, emotionally, mentally, and sometimes spiritually. We can do that. People can do that. And then there is far where you don't even have to be near a person to be able to pick up on what's happening in their body, what's happening in their field. So identifying where you are in that spectrum of empathy and sensitivity is helpful because then you can begin to say, well, I need to set my bounds far. I need to set my bounds near, or I need to set my bounds within. And a lot of times what happens, especially with younglings and children's, as they're growing, they're very sensitive, they're very empathic, and there seem to be more and more and more coming onto this plane, onto this planet, and they're suffering from being washed through by other people's situations and energies and emotions, and they don't know what to do with it. And we're not adequately teaching them how to be contained and how to be able to choose if you want to thin your boundary or thicken your boundary or have a boundary. A lot of people just are like, well, just deal with it. Here's some drugs. You know, you're ADHD. Well, too bad. Here's some medication that will solve that. Well, does it solve it or just put it off to the side?
Or numb it.
It numbs it, yes. So you have a lot of empaths and sensitives who are either self-medicating or they're being numbed on purpose by parents or parental units.
And by self-medicating, you mean potentially using drugs and alcohol?
Yeah, recreational pharmaceuticals.
To numb out to the feelings that they're having.
They find a something that seems to work for them for a time.
Right.
And actually it just creates a temporary refuge. So, you know, building protections and boundaries is something that for empaths and sensitives, in fact, for humans, is a really good thing to have so that you can choose and you're not influenced. Not only does it work on emotions and on feelings, but it also works from the metaphysical aspects of it keeps out the riffraff and the shadow side, per se, if you're dealing with external pernicious influences.
Right.
So you get a win-win by creating boundaries that work multiphasically and multi-energetically different frequencies.
Yeah. So in the story that you brought forward a few minutes ago at the beginning of the episode, you mentioned how, you know, you can build a wall, but then, you know, people can go above the wall, around the wall, below the wall, etc. And I think I've heard a lot of things in different classes and, you know, in popular culture of having barrier boundaries. And what I heard you say and what I've experienced from working with you is that that's potentially not the best way to go about it. So what is a good way to have healthy boundaries that, you know, help keep out both human feelings and emotions and, you know, whatever a human is going through, and also like something on the more metaphysical side, an external pernicious influence? What is a good way to go about having boundaries in that way?
I recommend positive pressure outwards positively.
Okay. Tell us more about that.
So you create a connection to the divine, however you perceive it, the best of the best, and you create a connection to the core of the planet, however you perceive that connection. And then you allow that core line to run up your main power, your Shushumna line, your core line, your Hara line, and empower that. And then at the heart center, you expand it outwards. So you're running really high-end energy from the divine up above, you're running the earth energy below, you're expanding at your heart center, and then every time you breathe in more and let it expand out. Every time you breathe out and let it expand more and you breathe out. So you're creating a positive pressured bubble of light and love that surrounds you completely. And it takes a practice and it takes a discipline to even begin to understand that I can make this connection, that I'm empowered to do that. And then to meet my heart center and allow that to just, with breath and intention, expand and create a boundary or permeable, but a boundary around me that will protect me from all aspects of issues, because it's such a high vibrating, heart-centered protection that I'm good to go.
Right. What I'm kind of getting at this moment, what's coming in, is that I'm making a connection that I haven't necessarily before, and you can tell me if this is resonating with you, is that when we're talking about boundaries, it's very much something that you as a person, as a human, as a soul can have control over and can have agency over and intention over in, you know, using various ways, like the way you just described, to bubble up and expand your heart center, etc. And, you know, another aspect of this episode is about protections. And I was just, you know, brought back to when you were telling us about your spacesuit and going to the UK and then getting stuck halfway back and then actually asking for help to bring that aspect in. And it kind of occurs to me that, you know, there's the two aspects of that, of boundaries and protections. There's the aspect of setting your boundaries, and that's something very much that you can do internally within yourself and within your intention. And then asking for additional protection is kind of the other side of that, is asking for help, asking for external help. So what does that look like? You know, some of our listeners, I think a lot of people who have listened to this podcast, you know, understand that we talk a lot about angels and guides and help, external help, however you want to conceptualize that. So where does that come into creating and helping bolster protections for you?
Well, I very politically correctly allowed you to go up into the universe and connect to the divine, however you perceive that.
Right, that's true.
And while you're there, you can say, you know, hey, I'm doing something. Please, you know, help me with this. And I always suggest, you know, the higher powers and super friends are there, and they will help you if you ask.
Right.
And if you don't ask, they will watch.
Right.
And go, gee, I wish they would have asked.
Just before we keep going on that, this is a thing that I think a lot of humans don't understand or are beginning to understand, is that in this plane, on this earth plane, we need to ask for help. Is that your experience? As the meaning, like, they're there, they can help us, they're watching, and there is a mechanism at this point in time where we actually have to ask for help in order for them to give it.
Well, I think that's the free will aspect, if you want to put it that way, of, you know, we can do whatever we want. Now, these higher powers and super friends work on a different frequency than we are. So they don't have a body, but they're around us all the time. If we raise our vibrational rates and we ask them for help, they're just like, yay, here's a body who's willing to do work with us. Let's do this stuff for them. So a lot of work with external pernicious influences is easier if they do it, but you're providing them the vehicle to get it done by making that connection and doing the ask. And they're very polite in that they'll watch you and go, gee, I wish you had just asked. They'll let you work as hard as you want until you go, wait a minute, wait, why am I working so hard? Hey, I could use a little help here. And that's often all you need. I could use a little help here, or I could use a lot of help here.
Just like your story of being burnt out in the middle of the ocean and I need some help.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes it takes a human to get to the point of burnout or get to the point of end of the rope, you know, like to be able to even pass all the human barriers and cultural influences and societal blah-bitty-blah to even get to the point, oh yeah, let me ask for help.
Exactly. And the help is there and willingly and probably a lot more than you ever thought of. So, you know, the point is when I say connect to the divine, I'm actually saying connect to the divine and get their help. Now, look at how I set that up. I let you go to the divine and I let you connect to the best of the best in the universe. So I'm looking for the metaphysical higher vibration, best of the best from my perspective. I asked you to go to the planet, which is very dense, even denser than our body. So I'm asking you to go to the planet. I'm asking you the best of the best from the planet. So I'm looking for that light. I'm looking for that shadow. I'm looking for everything in between. And I want to balance that at my heart center and allow that to spin out and permeate my bubble to create a boundary that is balanced light and dark, metaphysical and physical. And my heart center is in the middle. And I'm now able to function. Now, whether that's just going through life, which is really wonderful to go through life that way, or if it's simply working to heal somebody or heal the planet. Doing it ourselves, we don't have the power. But when we're connected and we're integrated and we're balanced, we have much more power at in our ability to use.
So what would you say to folks listening who, you know, maybe listened to our previous episode on the dark and shadow and maybe identified with, wow, maybe I have some external pernicious influences that I need to start paying attention to and figuring out how to clear. What's a way that they might be able to, you know, bring in appropriate boundaries or appropriate protections? What would be something that they can start with?
The first thing that a person needs to do, from my perspective, is to know who you are. So I advocate sitting in circle and just simply knowing who you are. So breathing, focusing, meditating on your energy. And I have people do the hold the ball exercise of feeling their energy between their hands.
Right.
And while they're holding the ball and feeling the energy between their hands, knowing that it's theirs. And they can practice putting love through their hands. They could practice putting anything through their hands and feeling how that shifts that ball. But that's their energy and that's part of them. So as long as they don't throw that away once they're done with it, it's more intelligent, it's higher vibrational. So if they store it into their healing bank or they put it into their heart pockets for later use, they're raising their energy rates, they're raising their vibratory level. This allows them to have more influence on their own body, in their own metaphysical bodies, their own aura, their own physical, emotional, mental, and spiritual aspects, and map out if they do have any influences. Map out, because if they know who they are, then anything that's not that is something else.
Right.
So then map out, do you want this type of energy in your body? And that's how you begin to discern, do I have one of these problems? And then once you do, start to eliminate the little stuff, because that's easily within your realm, until you can work up to the bigger stuff.
One of the things that's been the most instructive for me these past several years has been the question, is this mine? Is what I'm feeling or what I'm experiencing something that's coming from me? And discerning the truth of that. If it's me, how do I go about it? Oh, if it's not me, how do I go about getting this energy safely out of my field or shifting that energy or disconnecting from that energy?
Mm-hmm. And that aspect is part of that, who are you? Do you know who you are? And when going back to the younglings and empaths and sensitives, if you don't know what's yours and what's not, then you're stuck with it all. And if you can create your own understanding of who you are and what your energy feels like, then you begin to discern what others are. Now, that's when, if they're particularly strong, and some beings are rather strong in their emitting emotions and washing through and trying to take over the universe, your needs are to discern, is that yours? And if it's not, then block it, move it, redirect it. Rather than block it, redirect it, let it go by you. You don't need to be in direct conflict. You're better off just letting it flow, but not through you. And that's often what happens, is it flows through you. And then you're like, oh, I don't feel good. Oh, this, I got headaches. Oh, this. It's like, yeah, because you're taking it all in. So, you know, I'm advocating knowing who you are and then building boundaries that are empowered by you, so that you can thin them if that's, you want to know what's going on, or thicken them if you just say, I need a break. I don't need to feel all this stuff. And so you are empowered to connect and empower it from above and below and within to create a boundary that's permeable as much as you want. And that way you can become your own unique human being and be a bliss wizard too, if you want to.
I want to be a bliss wizard.
Well, you're on your way.
That's amazing. So part of what we've talked about a lot over the past few years, and it's one of my favorite ways to describe the help, so to speak, is higher power super friends. Can you tell us a little bit about higher power super friends? Maybe even just when you started using that term, that's just for me personally, is a little like, how did you put that together as a term? But then also how that can come in to this conversation.
Well, I'm sure I stole that term from someone because it made perfect sense.
Absolutely.
But exactly who, I believe it's someone in the healing touch realms who brought it up. But the fact that it made perfect sense in that not only do you need higher powers, but super friends. And super friends don't have to be your guardian angels, your archangels. They can just be guides. They can be whatever you need, power animals, elements, whatever you need to help you move into a higher vibrational frequency and more harmony. So that term was so good because what I could do then is move people from take an attribute that they felt really highly about. So take, for example, unconditional love. So in your mind, what does unconditional love? Who in all of the deities, all of the paradigms out in the universe, who manifests unconditional love to you? And once you define, oh, this person, this deity, this god, goddess, whatever, what have you.
This character in this book.
Right, exactly. Yeah. This elemental, this animal expresses to me unconditional love. I can have a personal relationship much more easily than going, hey, love, come and help me.
Right.
I can say, hey, Bob, come and help me. And Bob shows up.
It's easier for humans to have that.
It's a way to step into the energy easily and more personally so that you understand it and it's in terminology and nomenclature that you understand.
Right.
So you can have your own personal relationship with the best of the best, highest unconditional love, and then it starts to use terms that you use and it makes sense to you. If I just say, well, grab an archangel, you'll be like, how do I do that? And won't they get upset? And you're like, no, they won't get upset because they can handle it. And since you thought of it, go ahead and do it, but then talk to them. And the part that many people don't remember is that you have to thank them, okay? Because if you give them gratitude, if you thank them, that's actually feeding them that other side of the heart-centered energy of that unconditional gratitude that goes out to feed them. And then they're like, wait, if I come and help this person, they'll feed me more and they'll feed me the good stuff. I'm going to hang around this person.
That's their payment. We're not paying them money, because what does money have to do with the realms that these beings are in? It's gratitude and it's love and appreciation.
Yeah, they can't put our gold into their pockets.
Right.
So, but they can put our gratitude into their hearts and they can use it.
Yeah.
So the higher powers and super friends are a method of finding attributes that resonate with you. So if it's peace, if it's love, if it's healing, harmony, that resonate with you and create a personal relationship with that and then use that to empower you to understand more.
Right. Well, I just wanted to go into this a minute too, because you mentioned the archangels and like, oh, you don't have to grab an archangel. And a lot of the work I do, there's various archangels that I do happen to work with. But I just wanted to put out there, you know, for folks listening, like, these are paradigms, right?
Yes.
We in this country, you know, not the whole country, but in, you know, maybe the background that you and I grew up in maybe is a more Christian-centric understanding of how the spiritual realms maybe work, right? Even though we see angels appearing in all kinds of religions, we're, you know, I just wanted to put out there that this is a non-religious conversation that we're having, and the archangels themselves would consider themselves non-religious as well, you know, and we might be, I know folks from all over the world listen to this podcast, and for them, you know, it might be the thing, the entity, the being that comes in for you may be different. It may be a deva or a, you know, a jinn or any other kind of being that helps in the paradigm that you found yourself growing up in and being in now.
I find that if people have multiple paradigms, they have multiple frequency overlap, and there's less apt to get through their boundaries and protections, and they're more able to work with others if they're a healer, or they're more able to affect some other aspects of the universe. So choosing paradigms is wise. Now, I know some people who say, okay, so, you know, who's unconditional love? God. Okay, cool. So who's peace? God. Okay, who's healing? God. Okay, cool. Call on God, but put God's hat, peace hat on. So this is God with the peace hat on. This is God with the love hat on. So allow that God to expand to be all of those things. You're still calling on one, but you're letting God be more expansive.
Right.
Okay, so in that respect, when you're looking at a different paradigm, you can move into the Aztecs, you can move into the Native American, you can move into shamanic aspects, you can use power animals, you can use plants, trees,
elementals,
animals, whatever works, but you have to have the personal relationship with them.
Right.
When we say archangels, most people often think of a high-end being, kind of the muscles behind the best of the best. You know, go ahead, use the muscles that's behind the best of the best. And if in your paradigm, that's a parakeet, call on parakeet to give you a hand.
Yeah, I was just thinking about this in the terms of love, because before you were saying, you know, what being, you know, could step in and represent, you know, love for you. And just to give a few examples for our listeners, like for me, when I think about it, I can think about somebody. Like for me, I've definitely called in Kuan Yin for that aspect, for love. Of course, there will be people who call in Jesus for love and unconditional, you know, to hold that space of unconditional love. For some people, it might be a beloved pet that emanates love for them. When they think of that pet, that is how love enters their field. So there's just so many ways, and, you know, we would be wrong to say that there's only one way to call in the energies that you need to help yourself and bolster your boundaries and your protections.
And hence, that's why I use higher powers and super friends, so that it's not charged with any one particular religious thing. It's a spiritual type of thing.
Right.
And it covers whatever you can imagineer into your reality.
I love that. Yeah. And you've always been an advocate for that, you know, since I can remember and since I met you. And it's really expanded my own understanding of the world and how it can work and how you can work with all of these beings to your advantage and not be limited by having grown up in one paradigm or, you know, be blocked from, you know, using a character that might emanate the very thing that you're looking for. You know, I've talked about this before in this podcast, but one of my guides is Dumbledore from Harry Potter. And it's because of the qualities that character has. And that character has so much energy from so many people around the world that it is in fact real, you know, and it is created in the energetic realm. So yeah, I love the freedom of that. I love having the limitless and using all the paradigms instead of just one of the paradigms. So I honor you for bringing that into my life.
You're always welcome, and thank you. And, you know, I will go back to Gandalf was one of my original paradigms. And when making boundaries and protections, thou shall not pass, mm-hmm. kind of reverberates through the whole being to create that boundary of you shall not pass,
right.
or you're going to have this wizard after you.
Right.
So, exactly. you know, that one is empowered me to go, oh, what else? How else? And make it comfortable for you.
Beautiful. Is anything else coming up for you to share on this topic before we tell our listeners what our bonus content is going to be about for this episode?
Well, I still advocate being nice.
Absolutely.
And I still advocate to know who you are. And part of that is that sitting in circle where you just sit down and you bound yourself by stones or rocks or sticks. I don't care what you use. Keep your energy in that circle and know who you are. And then that's your normal discipline to decide how big you want to be. And then you can move in or out around from that.
Beautiful. And once again, how can people find out more about you, Jerry, if it's their first time tuning in?
I have a website, htwiss.com, that has pretty much gives an understanding of how to contact me and what I tend to work with.
Beautiful. So we have a really great bonus content for this episode. Do you want to share just a little bit about what we'll be doing with the 8-directional walkthrough so that folks can decide if they want to tune into that bonus content?
Sure. The 8-directional wash through is taking 8 attributes and then washing them through your field, physical, emotional, mental, and spiritual, not only once, but twice. So you're going to have peace wash through you once, and you're going to have peace wash through you again, and then hold a set boundary in a direction. And we're going to do that 8 different times with the 8 different attributes so that you can create your own pocket universe and set the boundaries as thick or as thin or however you want so that you can be you. And once you're you, then you can be a better you.
Beautiful. I can't wait. I'm really excited for that. Thank you so much for joining me again, Jerry.
You're always welcome.
I hope you enjoyed this episode with Jerry Becker as much as I did. I am grateful to him for all of his help throughout the years in my personal boundaries and protection education. I credit him with a lot of me being able to handle and negotiate and navigate my way through the shadow and the dark and external pernicious influences, both with myself and with my clients. So thank you so much to Jerry Becker. We go a bit further in today's bonus content. I'm really excited about it. Jerry offers us a meditation on a wonderful way of how to clear your field and set your boundaries and protections around you. If you are interested in hearing this meditation, please visit www.patreon.com/letsgetmeta and become a patron of this podcast. For just $2 a month, you will help keep this podcast going. We can't do it without you. Thank you very much for your consideration on that matter, and we will see you next time.
We hope you enjoyed this episode. Let's Get Metaphysical is entirely listener supported. If you like what we're doing, please consider becoming a patron of the podcast at patreon.com/letsgetmeta. Our intention is to raise the vibration of the planet by sharing, validating, and normalizing spiritual and metaphysical experiences. If you haven't pledged yet, we'd really appreciate your support. It helps keep this show going. Let's Get Metaphysical is a production of the Hana Healing Arts Network. The show's host is Renata Maniacci. The music for this podcast was composed by Rob Trefort of GoldenTurtleSound.org. Thank you for listening. Stay meta.
Physical.